Today is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. And these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will be no benediction this evening. Thursday, July 6th, is the 22nd anniversary of the ordination of Father McMahon and Father Kuchera. And ours, the Mass will be at 7:30 a.m. and there will not be any holy hour that day. So no holy hour on Thursday. There will, however, be a Mass on First Friday, this coming Friday. The Mass will be at 8:30 and it will be followed by conference and or a rosary. On Friday, July 7th, after the rosary, there will be the mowing of the south and east landscape areas, and volunteers are welcome. We have some big feast days this week. Today is the feast, but this Sunday takes precedence over this big feast of the Visitation. We heard a little bit about the Feast of the Visitation yesterday because of Pope Pius IX, who raised it up and made it a second-class feast. Tomorrow is the Feast of Saint Irenaeus, one of the fathers of the Church, apostolic fathers. Wednesday is the feast of St. Anthony Mary Zechariah. On Thursday is the feast of St. Maria Goretti, whose photo we have in the shrine there. Modern saint. Martyr. Friday is the feast of Saints Cyril and Methodius. And on Saturday, it's the feast of Saint Elizabeth, Queen of Portugal. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from Saint Paul's epistle to the Romans. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us. For the eager longing of creation awaits the revelation of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity, not by its own will, but by reason of him who made it subject, in hope. Because creation itself also will be delivered from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the sons of God. For we know that all creation groans and travails in pain until now. And not only it, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption as sons of God, the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. At that time, while the crowds were pressing upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret, and he saw two boats moored by the lake, but the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, the one that was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And sitting down, he began to teach the crowds from the boat. But when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said to him, "Master, the whole night through we have toiled and have taken nothing. but at thy word I will lower the net. And when they had done so, they enclosed a great number of fishes. But their net was breaking, and they beckoned to their comrades in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had made. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You see the generosity of these men and the desire to do whatever God wanted of them. This is not anything for stirring up vocations. We have done that many times, and we are not doing that now. But just notice the generosity of these men and the response they gave to this miracle. When God asks anything of us, just an inspiration of grace, however small it may be, always answer it immediately and generously, just like these four apostles did. Immediately. Not hesitate. Remember, one grace follows another. If you're not generous, God will not be generous with you. Now, today, as we said, is also the Feast of the Visitation. And so we should say just a few words about our Blessed Mother. You, just to recall to your mind this feast, this event began, the Feast of the Visitation, this event of the Visitation began on the day of the Incarnation, the Feast of the Annunciation, so March 25th. The Archangel Saint Gabriel came to our Blessed Mother and announced to her that she was going to be the Mother of God. And then, after he departed, we know that the Incarnation took place within her womb. And she heard from Saint Gabriel about her cousin, her relative, Saint Elizabeth, having already been now with child, this old woman. For 6 months she was with child. And so it says in the gospel that she went with haste. It was a long distance. She went on foot. A day or two walk. And she was hurrying. Imagine that. We believe she went by herself, this girl. About 15 or so years old. She went all the way down there to help her relative, her cousin, St. Elizabeth. And this was a big event, especially for you and me, because this was when she, as soon as she said to her, "Shalom, peace," this was the Jewish greeting, "Peace be to you." As soon as St. Elizabeth heard the greeting of our Blessed Mother, Saint John the Baptist in her womb was sanctified not only because of the greeting of our Blessed Mother, but because of the presence of the Son of God in her womb. So we believe he not only was given the gift of grace, but also the gift of reason. That's what we believe. His holiest man. And then we have the second part of the Hail Mary. Remember the last part of the Hail Mary, if you recall. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. That part came just recently, meaning only last century, 1800s or something like that. That's a very recent addition to the Hail Mary. So when we say the second half of the Hail Mary, we don't mean that. We mean the first half was Saint Gabriel's words to our Blessed Mother. Hail Mary, hail full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. That's the first half. Second half, the words of Saint Elizabeth on this day. Not that this was the day, but this is the feast commemorating this event, which took place almost immediately after the incarnation, because she hurried down there. And so the second half of the Hail Mary. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And then someone added, Jesus. This came on this event, so this should be a big day for all of us. This is when we received the part of the Hail Mary. So you want to say lots of Hail Marys today. You could say this is the feast of the Hail Mary. Where would we be without this prayer? Where would you and I be? It's very important for our Blessed Mother. We know that she was made pure from her conception. We've told you this event before, but we mention it again because we have a comment about it. We were teaching a lady one time, teaching her the faith, and we told her about the Immaculate Conception, that our Blessed Mother was conceived immaculately and never had any stain of sin, and she no longer wanted to be a Catholic because of this. This is the degree of the prejudice of Protestants and of how much they have been turned against our Blessed Mother, because she did not believe that it was possible for God to make his mother without sin, even before the redemption had taken place. But this is what happened to, in a similar way, this is what happened to everyone that died in the Old Testament, who was saved, all those who were in the bosom of Abraham, in the limbo of the patriarchs, the saints of the Old Testament, all those who were saved. So Moses, Elias, all of these great prophets, what happened to them? How were they possibly saved before the redemption? They were saved in view of God the Son dying on the cross for us. So this is what happened to our Blessed Mother. In view of the redemption, she was made without sin, the same way we have our sins taken away. She was prevented from ever having any sins. So this apparently is impossible. God, who is infinitely powerful, created the entire universe from nothing, became a man. Who would think that that was possible? Suffered. God suffered. How's that possible? Died on the cross for us, redeemed all of us, died for our sins, suffered all the consequences of our sins. God did this. Rose from the dead, went back to heaven, but he couldn't make his mother pure before she was conceived. From conception, he couldn't do that. And he wouldn't have, of course. After all, it was only his mother. That's impossible. So, we remind you that it's unnatural to have a father without a mother, isn't it? Who would feel right if he didn't love his father and his mother both? It's so natural to have a mother that God has a mother. That's how natural it is. So we hope that you pray to her, that you go to your father and your mother all the time. Go to her often as you do your father. Now here's a question for you. Why is it that we, you and I, receive more favors from our mother than we do our father? This is true. Constant miracles she gives. And the reason is that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, wants to honor his mother like this. This is how much he loves her. Apparently he can't do that either. This is how much he loves his mother, that he wants us to go to her and honor her and love her like he does. One time, in the midst of a battle, this officer found one of his soldiers on the battlefield, and a musket ball had gone through his head, and everything on the inside of his head was coming out the two holes that the musket ball had made. It had gone all the way through his head. And this soldier had his rosary in his hand. He was praying the rosary. And he asked for a priest so he could go to confession. And the priest finally came, heard his confession, gave him absolution, and the man died. Just one small example of the miracles that our Blessed Mother gives and that God works through her intercession, through her prayers. She seems to be more powerful than God. That's how much he loves his mother. He wants us to love her. Now this Sunday, the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, according to the liturgists, it's all about hope and humility. And we would like to correct what many of them say about this Sunday, and we would like to say that it's more about humility and hope. And the reason that we say this is that humility comes before hope. All of our virtues that we have, if we have any virtues, are built, as we have told you a million times, are built upon the foundation of this one first virtue, humility. Remember that God, we cannot reach heaven without God's help. That would be impossible. And so, in order for him to help us, we have to ask him. Remember that? We ask for his help. And no one asks for help from anyone, let alone God, unless they feel the need to ask for help. That's the virtue of humility. So nobody prays unless he is humble. At least he does not pray as he should, with his heart. He does not beg for help. And the reason for this, of course, is because if we are not humble, then we do not realize how stupid we are and how poor, how blind, how evil, how lonely. All of these things escape us. This is the purpose of the difficulties that we have in life. God is trying to teach us. This is how he helps us. He wants us to be in the dirt. That's what humility comes from, the word dirt or dust. He wants us to be down there so that we can ask to lift us up. This is what good parents do. Good parents don't teach their children the importance of being strong and famous and beautiful, attractive, or rich, or clever, brilliant. That's not what good parents do. They teach their child to say, please, don't they? Say, please. Say, thank you. Say, I am sorry. Isn't that what good parents teach their children? Blessed are the poor in spirit. You remember that means humble. It does not mean poor. It means humble. Poor in spirit means humility. Blessed are the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As soon as we have a low opinion of ourselves, as soon as we realize that we are nothing, then God lifts us up because he can't resist us. Isn't that amazing? They say, for eternity, we were nothing. And then at a moment in time, God created us from nothing. If he ceases to think of us, even for a second, we revert to nothing. And if he does not assist us at every moment, we can do nothing, we can think nothing. We can't do anything without his help. This is the importance of prayer. We must ask for God's assistance. If an ignorant man does not realize he is ignorant, he's never going to try to learn. If a blind man does not know that he's blind, what's he going to do? He's not going to try to see. And this is you and I. Because if we do not beg for God's help, then we are very ignorant and blind, much more than, naturally speaking, dire consequences of all these things. We do not pray constantly. This is what our Lord and Savior tells us. Pray constantly. Never cease. Now we said today is about humility and hope. And here's what St. Thomas has to say about that. St. Thomas Aquinas. No man is able of himself to grasp the supreme good of eternal life. He needs divine help. Hence, there is here a twofold object: the eternal life we hope for, and the divine help we hope by. Read it to you again. No man is able of himself to grasp the supreme good of eternal life. He needs divine help just to be able to grasp heaven, just the idea. He needs divine help. Hence, there is here a twofold object: the eternal life we hope for, and the divine help we hope by. We can't hope for heaven if God does not give us hope, help us. Everything is based on God's help. And so the act of hope, O my God, relying on thy almighty power and infinite mercy and promises, we hope to obtain the help of thy salvation. We hope to obtain the eternal happiness and the help to obtain it. Oh, we forgot the act of hope that we say during the day several times. So, the good news is that God is infinite goodness. That is one of the best definitions of God. Infinite goodness. That's God. And so consequently, he is at every moment trying to help us. Constantly. Everything around us is for us. All of creation is to help us to reach heaven and to help us obtain the glory that we will have in heaven. Everything. He lets us offend him so that we can reach heaven. What does sin do for us? Helps us to understand how bad we are, how stupid. Don't you feel stupid after you've sinned? Helpless. Because I gave in again. And so when we sin, we beg for help. Now how good God is. He lets us offend us because he loves us. He lets us offend him because he loves us. Who is that good? Seems impossible. Another impossible thing that God does. Everything is to help us. It's a big controversy among ornithologists. Bird experts. Some of them, many of them think that there's some purpose in nature for birds singing. They are marking their territory. Something crazy like that. But many think that there is only one purpose for the singing of the birds. Many people that believe this, experts. It's only for you and me. That's the only purpose of a bird singing, so that we can hear them and love God. And lastly, brethren, we repeat what we said on the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. And that is, since we're out of time, that all of the pain in the whole world, all pain put together, cannot be compared to one moment with God. May God bless you.